I want to be one with you, oh God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm redeemed, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are honored. We feel privileged to be able to share with you God's Word. We do hope the things that we say to you this afternoon will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Again, all the things that we say, you should be checking out in God's Word. Make sure that the things that we say are in fact true. Again, man makes plenty of mistakes, and you should not place your trust in man. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so thus we should put our faith in what we hear from the Word of God. If you have a question right now and you are seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and give us a call. That number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
This is a live broadcast, and we do want you to join us right now as we look to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart. The number 308-9564 is the number. The lines are now open, and you can go ahead and call 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that you have. Maybe you've heard certain things, and maybe some things have not been able to be clear in your mind, and you would like to know what the Bible has to say about that question. You can call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. There's a passage of Scripture we'd like to set the stage with today until we get to your questions, and that's taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, he says, "If anyone teaches otherwise," giving instruction to Timothy, the young evangelist, he says, "If anyone teaches otherwise," in other words, according to the things that he had been taught, or does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness," and now he describes these individuals. He says he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth. Does that sound like it's a good thing? Well, I agree with you. That does not sound like it's a good thing at all. But I stopped in the middle of the verse. Let me continue and notice what the next expression says. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Useless wranglings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Wow. Do you mean to tell me that there are churches out there that actually teach that gain, the acquisition of gain, is to be done through a process of godliness? And that is, if we live godly, then we will certainly be able to, the result of that is that we will get gain. Is that what the Bible brings out, or is that what the churches are teaching out there today? As you probably know, Nick and I have a number of Bible studies, as well as several others in the local flock, with people in the world and the people that like you that call in for questions and enroll in Bible correspondence courses. And we've heard from several of you, and there seems to be a disturbing pattern that has become evident. And that is, it is amazing how many churches or how much teaching in religion is done along this line, supposing that gain is godliness. Huh. That is so disturbing. Well, in this passage, it describes as such that it teaches something like this as perverse disputings, destitute from the truth. Well, the truth is that it couldn't be further from the truth. We have got to understand the very next verse says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, right sandwiched between these two phrases, supposing that gain is godliness and godliness with contentment is great gain, is the phrase from such that would teach that godliness is a means to an increase or a means to gain. It says, from such individuals turn away or withdraw yourself from such as this. Wow. Isn't that amazing? There are so many out there and so much teaching out there that will tell their people, tell the congregation, those that visit in the assemblies, that if you give so much, then you will be increased many, many fold more. Now, certainly there is a principle that God teaches that if you give bountifully, you'll receive bountifully. But that is not the purpose in giving, nor should it be the means or why we should try to be godly so that we can get an increase. And so from such individuals or from such congregations or teachings as that, we need to turn away. What do you think about this? 308-9564, the lines are now available. 308-9564. You might want to share with us some of the stories of things that have happened with you. We have heard many. One of the most shocking ones I've heard recently was how one church calls or had all the people line up in certain lines, and there was a line that was the $50 line of people, and there was the line that was the $20 line of people, and then there was the $5 line and the $1 line. Talking about, I'm speechless at such as this that's going on in the name of religion, in the name that Christ's name would be associated with such as this. I'm just absolutely appalled. Well, God says, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. You may have more comments on this. If you'd like, 308-9564 is the number, the line. We do have one line available. Go ahead and call in your question or comment right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
You know, on one occasion I heard someone say that because Christians are sons of the King, then they should receive what the King has, and the King, of course, being Jesus. And so the thought is, because the King has all riches, then we should receive what the King has. Well, the riches that Christ have for his people are not physical riches. In fact, when Jesus talked about the physical, when Jesus was calling people to follow him, he was very clear on what he had. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19, the Bible says, then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus did not have much when he was on this earth. Jesus did not come here to amass riches, but rather he came simply to do the will of the Father. This was not going to be a process by which he was going to collect all kinds of treasures, and he was not going to try to pull a tremendous amount of money to himself or for himself. Even the apostles, in the time of the apostles, people had a tremendous amount of respect for the apostles, and yet and still the apostles did not go about or do what they did to get glory or to get money. They didn't use godliness as a means for gain. In Acts chapter 14, the people saw what Paul and Barnabas did, and they wanted to worship them. And these men responded in a very interesting way. In Acts chapter 14, in verse 11, the Bible says, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And so they said of Paul and of Barnabas that they were gods. In verse 12, and Barnabas they call Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in the front of their city, brought oxen and garland to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. These folks, Paul and Barnabas, were not doing what they were doing so that they could get some money, but rather they were doing what they were doing just so that God would get the glory. To join us right now in our discussion, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We have Ben calling in this afternoon. Ben, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening each week. You are a very faithful listener, and we're very thankful that you are choosing to tune in each week. We have a number of people that call in this way, and we're very thankful that you are interested this way. And so his question is based upon Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, where he brings the verse brings out, it says, cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it in find it after many days. And so, Ben, that is a very good question, very good comment. And I would direct you to also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it says something very similar to that, and that is God is directing us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us all, gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation from the for the time to come, and that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see the similarity there, Ben? And that is that if we cast our bread upon the promises of God, or invest in the future that God has promised for us, then we will be blessed indeed. We will be rich indeed. And so hopefully that was helpful, Ben. We're very thankful for your listening each week. Okay, I think we have David standing by.
Batista.
David? Okay, we have David standing by. David, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, how can we help you?
I just have a question. It's just I wanted to know, once you get saved and you give your life to God, is it a necessity to join a religious organization? I mean, why is it necessary to be part? You know what I'm saying? It's like, can't you study the Word of God, or God, if God is inside of you or whatever, and God is directing you, is it necessary? Is it a necessity for you to be part of a religious organization?
Okay, David, very good question. We thank you for calling in your question. We're going to go to the answer right now. We certainly do appreciate you calling in. Be sure to listen on the radio, and we'll continue with the answer. Thank you.
In Acts chapter 2, what we see is the establishment of the church. When the church was established, these folks actually obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, something interesting happened. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then those who gladly received his words, these were words of Peter when Peter preached the gospel, they received those words and they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now notice the phrase added to them. Well, what were they added to? If you go to verse 47, we'll see. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so once a person obeys the gospel, that is to say they believe the gospel, they repent of their past sins, they confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they're baptized into Christ, then it's at that point that Christ adds them to the church. Now, there was an expectation that the church was going to continue to be together. In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, The Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking bread in prayer. Then great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common. And so we see in verse 44 that they were together. We see also in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, that the Christians were to not to forsake the assembly of the saints, but rather they were to come together to stir one another up. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Verse 24 is key. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." I hope that's helpful to you. Again, these folks, when they obeyed the gospel, they automatically became part of the church that Jesus Christ established. And we see an example where the church would, in fact, assemble together to be with one another, to encourage one another.
And in addition to that, one of the things that the Lord expects us to do is to commune with him on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 brings out that the early church, or the church there at Corinth, was coming together, and they came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. This is the word communion. We are communing together with God. And so all of these things are done as we come together as a local flock of God's people. The only example where we have is in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, where someone actually went to join themselves to a group of disciples. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples there at Jerusalem, but they were afraid of him. Barnabas went to bat for him, and then the next verse says that he was with them, going in and coming out. So, yes, we begin our journey to heaven individually between us and God, and then we quickly join or band ourselves together with a group of disciples to exhort one another, edify, to admonish one another, to be devoted toward one another, and to commune with one another and God. And so those are things that we must do. Nick, you want to add something?
Yes, there was another live caller named Jay, and I think we lost you. So go ahead and call back, and we'll try to get you in. It's just about time for us to take our first break, and so we want to go ahead and encourage our listeners to go ahead and call. Even while we're at break, that number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564.
We're going to take a break now to give you a free offer of a correspondence course. If you have not enrolled in this course, please take this opportunity. Here are the details on that. Be sure to enroll, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. Here are the details. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back live now, and we do want you to go ahead and enroll in that if you'd like to, or if you'd like to download a previous recording from this year, You can go to our website at www.biblealone.com, BIBLEALONE.com, and we'll be glad you can download the previous broadcast. Or you can also click on the Bible course button and actually download the big picture of the Bible correspondence course. Either way, it is your choice. We're glad to provide this, and of course, it is all free of charge. Okay, well, I believe we have a live caller named Christina that we have a question for us, and we'll be glad to look at your question right now. Christina, are you there?
Yes.
How can we help you?
Where does it say in the Bible that you have to be a member of a church before they can open the door for you and help you, you know, when you need help?
Well, that is a good question. Of course, the answer to that is it's not there. It's not a matter of a church opening up the door for anyone. Matter of fact, church doors are not even in the Bible. But if it's meaning talking about guarding someone that may be of some suspicion, then that may be something that you might be talking about. Or if it is talking about money, you know, from that standpoint, the church has never become, God never set up his church to be the headquarters for benevolence organizations. The only time that there were benevolence taking place among God's people were for God's people. And that was 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now the concerning the collection for the saints, chapter 16 and verse 1. But as far as a church being, there's a lot of times people have the idea that the church is a place where you can hatch them, match them, and dispatch them. And that's the idea of what they think the church is about. Hatching them, like with christening, matching them, like with weddings, and dispatching them, like with funerals. But God never intended his church to be a place to hatch them, match them, nor dispatch them. It is a matter of his church being the army to go out into the world, to be the light to the world, to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying humanity. And so we've got to let God's word be the only thing that we are following. Now, as far as the church being a benevolence center, again, that is just not the case. And so churches that have been set up by man, I guess they feel free to set up their own regulations of who they can accept and who they cannot. But if we're going to be the church that belongs to Christ, well, then we have to ask Christ on what we should do and how we should practice. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Christina, thank you so much for calling today. And be sure to enroll in the correspondence course if you have not.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great day. Again, the number here is 308-9564-308-WJNI. The lines are now available, and you can go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. Nick, we have another question?
Yeah. We have a caller who calls concerning a friend who's dealing with some marital problems where the, as I understand, the wife is not performing the marital duties. And some of the advice that the young man is getting is that is, you know, people are telling him to go outside the marriage to satisfy his emotional and physical needs. And so the idea is, well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, first of all, and I think this is a good lesson for all of us. First of all, there is no such thing as doghouse. You know, sometimes we think that in marriage, when either the husband or the wife is not making the one another happy, that you can put your spouse in the doghouse. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, those of you who are able. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." So one of the reasons that a man was going to have a wife, and one of the reasons a wife was going to have a husband, was to avoid sexual immorality. Now, that word sexual immorality may say fornication in your Bibles. The Greek word there is porneia. It's the broad range of sexual, improper sexual activities. And so God planned that marriage would help to prevent an individual from engaging in the improper sexual activities. And in verse 3, it says, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her." Some of your translations may say due benevolence. "And likewise also the wife to her husband." And so there's this idea that the husband has to render specific marital duties to his wife, and the wife has an obligation to render specific marital duties to her husband. And this is not man's word. This is God's word.
And you might notice there that that verse doesn't say, you render the her that way, or you render him that way. No, it is first person application. We are to submit or render that affection to the other. It is never compelled on the other.
Well, what happens if the person doesn't do it? Does that give me grounds for divorce? Can I leave my spouse? Well, if you go down in this text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 10. It says, now unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Very clear, God says the husband and wife, they are to be together forever. Now, there are some passages that lets us know that fornication is a reason for divorce, Matthew chapter 5 and also Matthew chapter 19, I believe it is. But other than that, in this context, there is no reason for a person to put away their spouse. The spouse is supposed to render this type of affection to their spouse, be it wife or husband. But note also Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, and this is specifically to this husband who's not getting that affection at home. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Notice in this text, what you will not find is Jesus saying, love your wife as long as she loves you. Love your wife as long as she does what you think she should do. Love your wife as long as she do what God tells her to do. You won't find that. God says, love your wife.
Period. And that should be the way it should always be. And that is that we are going to love regardless of whether they are lovely people or not. We must love them. God tells it. That's the command. That's the end of the situation. And God expects us to learn how to love. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us how to do that, verses 4 through 8. And I must do those things regardless of whether they are lovely or not. And you know what's amazing is once we start applying those things to our lives, then all of a sudden the affections start returning. But let's never make the mistake of saying that affections is equal with love. Affections may or may not be. We are to love our enemies, but that doesn't mean we have a fond affection for them. I'm supposed to love them as God loves us. He's been patient and kind and not envious or boastful or proud or haughty or selfish or rude, and I must be that way as well. And so the number now you can call and join us right now, this is a live broadcast. There is one line available, 308-9564 is the number. We are Let the Bible Speak, and that is the purpose of this program, to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that you have. This is a free broadcast, and everything that we offer on this broadcast is absolutely free, including a correspondence course that we want to offer to you. You can go to our website at www.biblealone.com, or you can just call right now. Our operator standing by. We're going to go ahead and tell you those details right now. But please know that no matter how you receive this information, you will never be asked for money. This is our honor to share with you the riches in God's Word. Remember, even while we're at break, you can call the number to call in your question right now, 308-9564 here at the station. Or here are the details to receive the free correspondence course that you can study at any time. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. it's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We're back live now. 308-9564 is the number. The lines are now available, and you can call in your question. We have a couple of callers right now. We're working on Isaac and Tracy, and we're working on your questions as we speak. And so we want you to know that we are glad to have you listening this afternoon. Again, this is a live broadcast. 308-9564 is the number, and you can call in your question right now. Or you can download the correspondence course. Eventually, as the radio station and us cooperate, we'll be able to actually have you text message us eventually. That's still in the works, and the website is actually still in the works as well. You'll notice buttons not working there. But you can go to our website at BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and we will be glad to you can download that at any time, those correspondence courses, and send it to us right in the mail. We have Isaac calling in this afternoon. Isaac, thank you for listening. His question is, God gave us five senses, then why do people say we need common sense? Well, Isaac, that's a kind of an interesting question, I have to say. I've never been asked that question before. And really what matters is not what people say, but rather what God has to say. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, God says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name done many wonders? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness." Now, Isaac, what we have there are some people that use common sense. And God said, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so, Isaac, it is not a matter of man-made common sense that will get us to heaven. It is only by doing the will of the Father in heaven that we will be able to make it. And the only way that we can do that is to do exactly what they did in the first century. What did they do in the first century? Well, in Acts chapter 2, we see them clearly. The very first day that one of the apostles preached for the sake of the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 2, he told those people there that they needed to know that Jesus is Lord in Christ in verse 36. He told them to repent and let every one of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins in verse 38. And then it says in verse 41, they gladly received his word and were baptized. That day about 3,000 souls were added. And what were they added to? Verse 47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so that's what they were being added to. They were being added to the church. The Lord himself was adding them to the church. When the people continued, or when they gladly received his word and were baptized in verse 41. And that is the same way that people can please God today. No, Isaac, it's not just common sense that will get us to heaven. As a matter of fact, that may get us to hell. We must let our senses become God's, and we must let God try to make us into the image of his Son. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 29, it brings out that that is the whole purpose behind his word, that we might be able to be conformed to the image of his Son. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, That's the kind of sense that we need to have today, and that's the kind of direction that we should also be mindful of. I would direct you one more in 1 Corinthians, make that 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, where God would want us to bring every imagination and every thought into complete captivity to the obedience to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. So, Isaac, it's not just common sense. It is the sense that we can get from God himself, the true wisdom from above that will give us our eternal life. So, Isaac, very good question. Thank you for considering and listening to us each day, and we pray that that has been helpful to you. That was 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. That was Romans 8 and verse 29, and then also Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. The number here is 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. You can call in right now. This is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question, and we will let the Bible answer your question. 308-9564, the number here at the station to be able to ask your question. Do we have another question, Nick?
We do. Tracy calls in, and she says she's been cheated on, and after being cheated on, she's received the individual back, and she's looking for scriptures that will help her heal. Well, Tracy, again, we thank you for calling in, and we hope that the things that we'll share with you will be helpful to you. I want to reiterate to our listeners that we are absolutely to forgive. And God, when we can, God wants us, well, we should always forgive. And in cases like this, we should always be willing to try to take the individual back. That should be our first motive. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that kind of sets the standard. The reason why we forgive is we remember how that God in Christ Jesus forgave us. That should be our motive. We should remember this idea of being merciful. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive or they shall obtain mercy. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoice against judgment. And so we ought to be a very merciful people and have to be reminded, we have to be reminded of the mercy that has been extended to us. And so, Tracy, you ask, how do you heal? But don't lose sight of the mercy that has been extended to you. Don't lose sight of what God did in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. Don't lose sight of what Jesus suffered, the crown of thorns, the nails driven through his hand. Here you have the Son of God leaving the glories of heaven for what? For you and I. And while we were yet sinners, Romans 5, verse 8, Christ died for us. One of the ways to heal is to remember what was done for you, that you might be able to do that for the one who has transgressed or who has cheated on you, the one who has sinned against you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, in verse 7 particularly, talks about love. And it says that love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And so draw near to this individual and remember that you're loving this individual. And true love bears all things. As far as being able to forget immediately, that's just difficult, Tracy. That doesn't happen. That takes time. It will take time to forget. Also, one last passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us some things to think on. Hopefully that will help you as you continue try to heal. I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, I think we do. Before we go to Camille live, we do want you, Tracy, also read Hosea chapter 2 and see the role that God played or Hosea played with his wife as well. Hosea chapter 2, he went through extraordinary means in order to try and take care of his unfaithful wife. And so hopefully those passages will help you as well as anyone else that has that question. Okay, I think we have, is it Carmel or Camille?
It's Carmel.
Carmel, okay. You're live on the air. How can we help you?
Well, my husband and I, we've been having this little debate as far as with what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. I'm confused because I don't understand what role Christ is as far as with our lives, as far as with is he the Son of God or is he actually God? My husband says that he is God in human form. He came down in human form, but yet the Bible talks about how, you know, he's the Son of God and nobody can come through God except him. So I'm just confused.
Okay, very good question. We are so thankful that you have called in. I would direct you, first of all, to John chapter 1, where it brings out that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, there is the word logos, is the Greek word. And if you look down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we understand that that is referring to Jesus, who we call Jesus the Christ. Now, going back to verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made, and in him was the life. And it goes on to show the glory of Jesus being the Son of God, yes, and God. The reason you may be a little confused is because the word God, Elohim in the Old Testament, it is a plural word. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. There's a two plural pronouns to refer to God. And so, yes, Jesus, who we call Jesus, the Father, the Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all God. There's only three personalities that make up God or Elohim or deity, but yet each one of them are, in fact, God-kind, like we're humankind.
Matthew chapter 3 kind of just brings out what Ricky just pointed out. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. Here you have Jesus being baptized, and what you're going to see is Jesus, you're going to see the Holy Spirit, and you're going to hear God the Father from heaven. Matthew 3, picking up verse 16, the Bible says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a lightning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So in this text, you see all three. You see Jesus coming out of the water. You see the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove. And then you hear God the Father in heaven saying, this is my beloved Son.
And then Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, where Jesus was transfigured. And when Peter made a rash suggestion, it says in verse 5 that while he spake, behold, there was a bright light that overshadowed them, and behold, the voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so, yes, he is the Son of God. He was the Son in that he was made flesh like his creation. That would be us. But he has always existed. And so God was made into the flesh of the Son of God to live, to understand us, to be able to suffer like we suffer, and to be tempted in all points like we, yet without sin, so he could become the perfect sacrifice to save us from our sins. Does that help?
A little. I just have one quick question.
Okay.
So when he says that this is my Son, what is that? What is that referencing to? I mean, is he saying that's another part of him, and he's just calling him his Son?
No, it's a different individual, as the passage in Matthew 3 that Nick just brought out. All three separate individuals are displayed there in that passage, as well as others, to where the Father was in heaven, the Holy Spirit was descending in the form of a dove, and there was Jesus standing in the water, being immersed by John the Baptist. So there were three different individuals. The Son was made flesh like we are and dwelt among us to live, die, so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. He became the perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. And there's a lot more information. If you would enroll in the Bible Correspondence course, you will have a lot of those questions answered because it does address these things.
I think I need to.
Yeah, there's
okay, thank you.
Just go ahead and call the 553-5157, and you can enroll in that course, and it does address that idea of the role of Christ and our need for him to be our sacrifice.
Okay.
Thank you, Carmel. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you.
And for everyone listening, that number again is 553-5157. Matter of fact, why don't we just go ahead and take a break? While we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your question, and we'll be glad to let your question be next in line. That number is 308 308- 9564, and we'll be glad to take your question, and you can we'll be glad to address it live on the air this afternoon. 308-9564 for the question here, or if you want to enroll in the course, here are the details on that. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live again, and the number here again is 308-9564. You can call in your question. The lines are now available, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. While we were at break just now, we had Karen call in his question and ask us this concerning the Lord's Supper. She references Matthew 26 and verse 26 and says, where did Jesus say that you're to partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Well, Karen, actually, whenever we reference anything in the New Testament, that is Jesus speaking. It is not a matter of whether it's read in red print or not. That is not just, unfortunately, there's a lot of Bibles that will take the quotes of Jesus and put them in red ink, and then people will say, oh, that's the only thing that matters. But that you could not be further from the truth, because when Jesus speaks, this whole New Testament is his word. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, God, in different times, in different ways, and in times past, spoken to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We must listen to his word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it brings out, he says, beginning with verse 11, it says, and what man knows the things that except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are that have been freely given to us from, by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation he, Christ, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in four and few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so it is a matter of looking into the New Testament. And so to answer your question, we are to make certain that we follow what God says.
You know, and Jesus himself did say that this is what he intended to do with the disciples. In John, the 17th chapter, Jesus, in thinking a prayer to the Father, he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. In verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. He talks about those men that Jesus, that the Father gave him, and how that he gave them the information that the Father wanted them to have. In verse 6, he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your words. And so Jesus gave the disciples the words of the Father. And thus to hear the words of the disciple is to hear the words of Jesus. But note also in John the 16th chapter, just one chapter back, in verse 12, Jesus tells the apostles very clearly, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So when the Holy Spirit, and Ricky read that passage earlier, Ephesians chapter 3, how that Paul received it by revelation, when the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul, the Spirit was taking of what was Jesus, and he was giving it to Paul. In verse 15, Jesus says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And so, again, you have this idea of that you got what the Father has, Jesus says, is mine. And Jesus says that the Spirit's going to take what from mine and give it to the apostles. And thus the apostles wrote it down so that when we read, we can understand their knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is no longer a mystery because it's been revealed.
And so, Karen, to get to your question now, we needed to set that record straight, and that is the whole New Testament is the message of Jesus Christ. And so it's just not the red ink that we should be paying attention to. We should be paying attention to the whole covenant, the New Testament that he gave to us. So when we go to that New Covenant, we see that Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 that we should mark those who are an example, and that we should follow that example. That Philippians 4 and verse 9, it says, the things that you have seen and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so we should follow his example. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be followers of me, just as I am also of Christ. So when we look to see what his example was and what the early disciples' example was, then that is what we're under command to do. And those approved example is in recorded, that approved example is recorded in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, didn't say year, didn't say month, but if it had, we would have known it to be a yearly or a monthly occasion. It says on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. That's when and how often they came together to do that. So, hopefully that has been very helpful to you. We pray that it has been helpful to everyone that might have that question. So, yes, we are to commune with our Lord every week, the first day of the week. And anyone that would just say that that's not that important is just missing the whole focal point of our faith, Jesus' death on the cross so that we can be saved. Why would we diminish off of that? Well, the same terminology is used concerning the contribution in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to give of their means, to lay by in store. So if we're going to be consistent in the Scriptures and we only going to partake of the Lord's Supper once a month or once a year, well, then to be consistent, we need to take up a contribution only once a month or once a year. Now, either we're going to be consistent or we're not. And so if we're going to be consistent, both passages use the very same terminology, 1 Corinthians and Acts chapter 20, first day of the week. So they should be done the same way to be consistent. We need to let the Bible speak on that. And every question that we may come up with, if you would like to call in your question right now, you can go ahead and call in at 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question rather than what man has to say. 308-9564 is the number. We'll be glad to. The lines are available now. Go ahead and call in your question quickly because we're about to reach the end of our program. Go ahead right now. 308-9564.
We began today by talking about those who saw godliness as a means of great gain. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. And then we began to look further, and we'll see that God never intended for his people to see godliness that way. But in fact, it says godliness with contentment is what God wants from you and I. That's what we should have, a godliness with contentment, being satisfied with the things that God provides. In no way is God promising you and I a bucket of money. But if we will do his will, we will get the things that come as a result of that. And it's not treasure on earth, it is treasure in heaven. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we read of the Apostle Paul. Paul was one who proclaimed the message of God. But you know, he didn't have a bucket of money. He had, despite the fact that he was doing the will of God, he had put God first, he still had to deal with difficulties. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice that Paul, despite the fact that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, going out and preaching the gospel, that he did not see godliness as a means for gain, but rather as a means to do whatever God says, and it's part of that means you're going to suffer.
All right, we have another caller by the name of Jenkins this afternoon, wanted to expand his question from last week. He called in last week about women bishops, and he said, well, what about women pastors? Well, I would direct you to two passages of Scripture, one in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, where Peter addresses their elders, refers to them as elders in verse 1, and in verse 2 he refers to them as pastors. The very first word of chapter 5 and verse 2, pastors or shepherds, the flock of God, and then overseer. So we have overseer, bishop, shepherd, pastor, and elder, presbyter, all referring to the same group of people, the same group of men. Now you might say, well, maybe that's a coincidence. Well, you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, you see them referred to as elders in verse 17, and then in verse 28, they're referred to again. He says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, there's the word bishop, to pastor, to feed, to take care of, oversee the flock. So we've got all three words referred to in the very same context again. So whenever the Bible refers to pastors or shepherds, elders, overseers, bishops, it's referring to the same group of men. Now, I say group because it's always plural. It's never in the Bible will you see a pastor over a flock. It's just not there. It's the idea of pastors and overseers watching over a plurality of men watching over the flock. And so we can see those words again, and that's Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and verse 28, referring to the same group of men with all three or six terms, presbyter, elder, overseer, bishop, and shepherd, pastor, referring to the same group of people. So, with that in mind, when you look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, they are to be the husband of one wife. And there's no such thing as a woman husband on the face of this planet. And so they are to be the husband of one wife, and that cannot be a woman. And so that is a role of responsibility that God has put upon the back of men. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 brings out the reason for that. 1 Timothy 2 at the end of the chapter. Mr. Jenkins, thank you so much for calling in your question. We're just about to run out of time, and we want you to know that we're more than happy to have you tune in and call in your question.
Real quick, Gerald asked this question about tithing. Shouldn't all funds go to God, not the building fund, etc.? Again, I'll just call you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1. Tithing was an Old Testament practice, and thus the church was established under the New Covenant, and thus they followed the New Covenant law concerning giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given you orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. And then it says in verse 2, on the first day of the week, they were supposed to lay by in store. Notice that they were collecting here for needy saints. And so we see that it was not just the idea to God, but it was really for the work of God. And part of the work of God was taking care of needy saints, as well as supporting those things needed for worship, as well as supporting those men who would preach the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. So hopefully that's helpful to you. I'm sorry to cut it short, but we are out of time. Just want to tell our listeners thank you so much for tuning in today, and we hope the things that we've said today has been helpful to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. When it comes down to matters of faith, matters concerning the church, matters concerning religion or anything, we must let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
Wait, one day we'll meet over on that shore. I am ready.